Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter what? Chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. Now, before I say this again, before I start, remember, this is not a book about a history lesson. Correct? This is about something in your life today that's prevalent in your life today. Okay? And we have to be able to see it that way, or really it's no benefit to us. Okay. Chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the woman captives, and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for you shall surely overtake, and without fail recover all. David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drank any water for 3 days and 3 nights. And David said to him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to the Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongs to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear to me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this company. Excuse me. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a young man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking of them, neither great nor small, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken of them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. And then said David, You shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as a part of is that goes down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarried by the stuff. They shall take part alike. And it was so, from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance in Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. To them which were in Bethel, to them that were in the south of Ramah, to them that were in Jatir, to them that were in Arar, and to them that were in Siphmoth, and to them that were in Eshtemoa, and to them that were in Rachel, and to them that were in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to them that were in the cities of the Canaanites, and to them which were in Hormah, and those that were Korashan, and to them that were Atok, and to them that were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and all of his men were wont to haunt. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Okay. Let's go back and look at something. We know this is something internal, right? So let's take our minds away from that external thing so we can see what's coming on in the internal, all right? It came to pass, after all these other things in chapter 29 went down, I can't go back and do that, you have to get the tape. When David and his men were come to Ziklag. Now, who does David and his men represent? Christ and the first fruit, which is the head and the body. Okay, the totality. So when the totality of them come to where? Ziklag. Ziklag speaks of a place of what? Winding or a measure or pressed down. So we would be kind of speaking kind of like a wine press, wouldn't we? So when everybody comes to maturity and everybody comes together into the oneness of Christ, into that place called Ziklag, you know, they all got to go through that pressure, right? And guess what day it was in? Is that a coincidence that they didn't come to Ziklag until the third day? Now, I know everybody thinks, there's a lot of people think that that's a coincidence, but he didn't say second day, he didn't say first day, but he said third day. Very, very important in the pattern. And the Amalekites, right? And what's the Amalekites represent? The flesh, okay? Had invaded the south, that's comfort, and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, right? So what are we talking about? Who had done this? That's all the flesh. It's going on right between our ears. See, it's in our mind where this whole battle, this whole picture is taking place within the mind of each person. It's being tried. Oh, yeah. You're being taken advantage of right at the present. Well, the first fruit come in tried, but while you're being tried, guess what happened to everything else you had? It got captured and burned up, everything you had. And is that a perfect pattern of what you have to give to enter into the kingdom of God? Flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of God, right? So what can you carry in with you? Only spirit enters the kingdom of God. Perfect pattern, see? That's why this is here at the end of the chapter. End of the book, rather, this book. And they had taken the women captive. They had taken the soul captive. And see, when the flesh takes over, guess what it wants? It wants its way. And the woman's part of that way. See, that's the symbol of the soul. It wants to control the soul. And what is the soul? Mind, will, and emotions. And see, when the flesh takes over, that's right where it goes. Just like it showed in the garden. When Adam was being tested, what was the one that created the problem? We're not talking about natural here. It was the woman, the soul. See, Adam fell because his woman was not up to snuff yet. She hadn't been tested. Okay? So the test comes, and guess what? The woman's the one that gets taken captive. And there were therein, and all that was therein, they slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now, notice that it said, none of them were slain. What would that be of significance to you? Oh, kind of like? You can't kill him, see? You can't take his soul. You can't touch him, see? You can't touch his life. It's the same thing here. That flesh and that natural mind can be all the destruction it wants. It can cause you misery and pain and suffering, but guess what it can't do? It can't take your life. We're not talking about your natural life. We're talking about your spiritual life. It's an impossibility to take the Spirit of God from you. It feels like it, but it ain't real. Okay. It feels like your life's been taken from you, but it's not true. That's just the emotions we're feeling. And so David and his men, that's the corporate Christ, that's the whole body and head, came to the city. Now, what city do you think we're really talking about? Talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, but that's literally what it was saying here, was talking about the city of Ziklag, which is the place of the testing and all of it. Okay? And behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and daughters were taken captive. Now, tell me what went on in your mind if you'd have been walking into that city in that situation. Agony, pain, grief, suffering in your mind, unbearable, that your whole family was taken captive, and you don't know where they're at. Be tough on you, wouldn't it? Well, you know what? It's tough on you, too, in the spirit, when you realize that everything that you've grown accustomed to in your life, your whole family inside of you, everything that you've grown accustomed to, you just lost for God. Oh, man, do you feel bad. See? Same thing in the natural as it is the spiritual. It feels bad when you lose your family. But guess what? Who set this scenario up? If God set it up, then guess what? It's going to be all right. Huh? You have to learn to be that in rejection and learn that it's for your benefit. And then David and the people that were with him lift up their voice and wept until they had no more power to what? They had no more capacity to weep. You know what happened there? Their emotions was gone. Someone tell me, all of us have had time of real grief. When you come to the end of your grief, when you have wept and shown all the emotion you come, tell me what you got left then in emotion. You're exhausted. And that's what he's trying to say. You'll weep until you come to the end of your emotions, and then guess what you'll do? You'll stand up and say, I'm going to recover what the enemy has taken from me. And the enemy that took it from you is only right between your ears. See, it's not something out there. You'll come to a place where your emotions can do nothing else for you because you'll be drained. See, there's a limit to those things. They can only go so far. And when they're gone, you'll just feel absolutely no feelings at all. You'll just feel drained. That's when you'll stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when you know the Christ is in you, you can stand upon that. You don't have any control no more. Lost its power. Lost its power. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Now, remember what it says in James 1 and 8, there's a two-souled man. And what is he? He's unstable in all his way. Now here is David as a type of Christ, but yet he still has two women. Yeah. One can cause us trouble. But two. Now tell me how unstable you are. See, when I'm letting two different emotions work on me at the same time. How many people feel torn between God and torn between the world? Two different emotions. See? Are we ever going to be stable in that? Something's got to go. Remember, you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other sooner or later. But anyway, David still had this double-mindedness in him, and that's what the test is about, to get through this double-mindedness. When you lose everything that you have, you know what? What are you going to focus on then, Keith? There's only one thing left when you've lost everything in this world. You're going to focus on God. And where do you think they went to? They went to God. Watch this. So David has these two wives, these two souls, and one of them means literally, Ahinoam, my brother's delight, and the Jezreelite, which means son of God, and Abigail speaks of the father of the ages or father of joy, the wife of the fool, Nabal was a fool, the Carmelite, which was in the garden line. So all this was taking place in the garden land, which would be where? Garden of Eden, which is within our own mind.
What do you mean Nabal was a fool?
That's what his name means, fool. His name literally means fool. He was a fool by the way he spoke to. His name means that, which represents being fool. He acted foolishly with David, who was a type of Christ, and rejected him, wouldn't let him come through the land and give him some food to eat. David took care of his people, and then when David come and had some need, he wouldn't return it. Okay? And David was greatly distressed. Now, if you think because you're a man or woman of God that you're not going to feel pressure from these kind of things, you better reevaluate something. See, because the church world says, oh, come and meet Jesus, and then everything will be a rose garden. You can tippy-toe through the tulips and just sit down on the throne. Hello, somebody's lied to you. Because distress comes constantly in the kingdom of God. David here coming near the end of this book, and guess what? He's getting close to a place where he's going to take the throne. He's going to come to a place where he's nearly ready to say, I'm a man of God now. And guess what? He's still in duality, and he's distressed. Because the people spoke of stoning him. Hello. Start growing up, you know what you're going to get? Stoned. I'm not talking about smoking a joint. I'm talking about these big hard things out on the ground they throw at you and hurt you with. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. And literally, you know what it means? It says the soul of the people was grieved. It literally means they were rebellious, they were bitter, and they were provoked. That's what was wrong with them. They were bitter, they were grieved, and they were provoked by listening to their emotions. They got out of control. You start taking and cultivating this thought of hurt and rejection and all these things. You know, you have loss, and you know what happens to you? You cultivate this tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the fruit of that thing will do one thing. It said in Genesis chapter 2, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Hello. It speaks of your relationship with God, not having a relationship with your Father anymore. You'll be separated from Him in your own mind. Okay? But they were all grieved because of what they had lost. Their loss was. Do you think David had any less loss than anybody else? I'm going to tell you what, he had more loss than anybody. And every man for his sons and his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hello. David encouraged himself. Let me read you a passage out of Job. Job 13. I can get there without. Verse 15 and 16. And this is what Job said, and this is the same words that's coming through here. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He also saw he shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Hello? You got to maintain your own way, and there's no hypocrite going to walk before God. See, we can't convince God we're good because, hey, look, I did this thing down here. Remember? Yeah, not by works. Yeah. You got to maintain your own way. Still walking in the flesh thinking they can deceive somebody in that. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you know what happens when you really get discouraged? What you need? You need to take and encourage yourself in the Lord, in His Word. And I know that's not a cop-out. I've heard the church will say, yo, you just need to read some peaceful verses. No, you need to read some truth. See? And not just go pick up a psalm that says everything will be all right. But you need to understand why you're going through what you're going through, and then you can say, okay, I understand the purpose of this thing. I understand it. Now I can withstand all this coming at me when I understand the purpose of it. But see, God's not going to give you the purpose before you ever start. You'll get the purpose day by day as you go through it. It's kind of like that fresh bread every day. You can't get it all stored up for some other day. You got to get it all the same day you use it. Eat it the day you get it. And David said to Abiathar the priest, and Abiathar speaks of the father of abundance, the priest, Ahimelech's son, and that's the brother of the king, says, I pray ye bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod. So when David got down, what did he do first? He was grieved. He was depressed. He was distressed because of all coming at him. What did he do first? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And when he encouraged himself in the Lord, what was number two? The ephod represented the presence of God. So he said, okay, I've encouraged myself. Now I need something. That ephod was a symbol of God to the Jewish people. Nobody touched that ephod but the God people. You hear what I'm saying? So guess what? Bring me the ephod, because I can communicate through God through the presence of God. You hear me? It's the presence of God. So as soon as you get encouraged in this thing, now guess what? I can see what I need. It's like the day star rising in your heart. Hey, the light's on. Now I can see what I need. I can see that I've missed something. Without that light, what can I see? Nothing. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him and said, pursue, because you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Do you know what? Jubilee. There it is. Reconciliation. There it is. He said, don't worry about a thing. Go after what you need, and you'll get it. I'm not talking about worldly things. I'm talking about what all was stolen out of my identity and your identity. We can recover all, but the only way we're going to do it is first find out when we're grieved, encourage myself in the Lord, get in the Word, find out what's going on, and then listen to God. To require His presence in your life. Not just sitting in the background like a genie in a bottle that you can rub whenever you want Him, and He'll pop out and do a miracle for you. That's the way the church world sees God. That's not God. God is ever present in every move of our life. They sing the song, we have our life, and in Him we live and move and have our being. They don't believe it, because they only use Him when He's convenient. Yeah, Sunday morning's a good time to use Him, see? That's not correct. God should be in our life at all times. He's there if we'll just let Him take control of what He wants to do. Verse 9, he goes on, David went, he and his 600 men that were with him. What does that say? He still had humanity in him. And as long as we're on the face of this earth, guess what we're going to be walking in? Humanity. See? We're in it. We're not of it. We're going to use this vessel. It's like a tool. It's if you're working and building a house, you got to have a hammer and a saw and different things. Okay? It's a tool. And he still had things that will come at him and test him. Absolutely. Even Jesus, when he went through his temptation in the desert, what did it say? After 40 days and 40 nights, the angels came and ministered to him. But see, he encouraged himself just like David did, like the example. Thank you for bringing it to my mind. Because when Jesus was out there, how did he encourage himself in the Lord? He quoted the Word of God right back to that carnal mind that was talking to him. And then, guess what? Then the presence came. Hello, the ephod just popped up the same way. Here comes the presence. The messengers of God come to encourage him and lift him up. And then what happened? Said the devil departed him for a season. That tells me that it came right back and started tempting you every day, just like we are. Just because we come to understand something about God does not mean that we'll never be tempted or tested again. It just means the test will be much more difficult. They'll be much more subtle. So much easier trying just to slip you a little bit, because you know not to get the big things. The little things will destroy you. Slip right back into them. Be careful. And they came to the brook Besor. What does that mean? Yeah, cheerful. It means to announce. The root word of this word, Besor, means to announce the good news. So they came to the place of announcing the good news. What might that be? The gospel of reconciliation. That Jesus came to save the whole world. Not bad. See, that's a good thing. They come to announce it, so they cheerfully do it. You know, there's a lot of people that preach the gospel, but they're not cheerful. It's like a job to them. They labor to do these things. This is the most wonderful thing in the world. But if they had the truth, it would be the most wonderful thing in the world. But you have to be walking in this truth. You can't do it out of condemnation and guilt. You can't do it because you think it's a secure profession. And there's a lot of preachers that preach because it's a secure profession. When times get hard, everybody runs to where? Oh, they go to the church and try to buy their way into the kingdom then by throwing more money in the basket. That's not what it's about. It's about living it every day of your life. And then you don't worry about the things coming. Because he said if you'll seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll add everything to you. Don't worry about those things. Okay. Where am I at? Oh, and I. But they went to the place of proclaiming the gospel, okay? Where those that were left behind stayed. There are some people who come to the place of proclaiming it, but they'll never proclaim it. You know why? I've heard a lot of preachers I've talked to and said, let me show you some truth, brother, and I'll show it to them. They'll say, oh God, do you realize what that means? Uh-huh. That's why I'm telling it to you. I know what it means. See, God showed me what it means. And you know what? Years ago, it's been 10, 12 years I've showed some of this stuff to people, and they're still sitting back preaching that same old message. You need to get saved or go to hell. It's anybody, but I'm saying, for example, that's the leadership of that world. How do you expect them to learn anything if the leadership won't preach the truth? But there's so many of the ministry that I've seen, they're afraid to preach the truth because they're afraid they'll lose their money. My God. Huh? Oh, I guarantee you they would. I can tell you about that. You know, it's an absolute truth. But that's beside the point. If God is our sufficiency, why are we concerned about anything? He said, I'll give you what you need. He didn't say, I'll give you what you wanted. See? He said, I'll give you the needs that you need. And I know that passage says he'll give you the desires of your heart, but it's only when your heart matches his. Then he'll give you everything you need in that heart. Or watch what you ask for. Yeah. But David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. They had no revelation, okay? In the brook Besor, I see this. Let me back up a little bit in this. It says there were 400 men went with him and 200 stayed. Tell me the fractions there. One-third and two-thirds. Kind of sounds like the new tabernacle versus the old tabernacle. Six was humanity, the old tabernacle, wasn't it? But there's a new creation man who is no longer the old creation of humanity, is he? But he was created by the will of God according to the scriptures, right? Not by the will of man. This is a godly thing. You could take that right into the book of Ruth. You could take it into the book of Revelation. In the book of Ruth, there was three women, wasn't there? And two of them went on and one of them went back. You can go into the book of Revelation and there was an outer court, a holy place, and the Holy of Holies. But he said, don't measure, don't even look at that outer court no more, it's gone. The outer court's done with. So now there's two that's going to go on. And they found, verse 11, an Egyptian in the field. What's an Egyptian speak of? How about duality? Carnality? The double-minded man? But they found this Egyptian in the field. And what's the field? The mind again. And they brought him to David, who was a type of who? Christ. And gave him bread, which is what? The Word. And he did eat. And they made him, or they furnished him with water. What's the water represent? How about the anointing? How about the anointing? How about the washing, the cleaning? There's a lot of things it speaks of. And it can also speak of the Word. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came to him again, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. Ooh, look at this one. Look what it says. He gave him a cake of figs. There's your Passover experience. Israel was called the fig tree. That's your Passover experience. And two clusters of raisins. That's your Pentecostal experience. Two, speaking of the second day. Okay? And what happened to these clusters of grapes that made them raisins? They got dried out. They didn't have the anointing they really needed, did they? They gave them some dried preserved food. And you could say that's something, a preserved food to help you get through a dry time, maybe, huh? So when he had eaten this, his spirit came to him again. Kind of sounds like resurrection, don't it? How about a new birth? When you got the words, you got the new birth. It's coming back to you now. See? And remember what Jesus said in John 14? I'm going to go away and I'm going to send you another Comforter who is the Holy Spirit, and He will call all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. And this word will bring things to remembrance to you that God put in your heart before the foundation of the world. And it took 3 days and three nights this boy was without water and food. That's humanity. For 3 days and three nights we walk without food. But when we enter into this third day, guess what? Somebody's going to come along, some Jew, I'm saying that as a spiritual Jew, and they're going to come along and pick you up and drag you over and put you in the presence of God. And they're going to give you some word, that cake of figs, and they're going to give you a couple pieces of raisin, and then what you're going to do? Your spirit's going to come back to you. And you're going to realize all these things that God placed in your heart from before the foundation of the world. And then what you're going to do? Here's your point of no return. Are you going on or are you going back? Which way are you going? You want to go back to Egypt now that you're well? Or do you want to go on with God? But you got to go through those 3 days and three nights. Yeah, you can go back and get some cucumbers if your raisins wasn't good enough. And David said to him, "To whom do you belong and whence art thou?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt." Literally it says this, "Who are you and where are you from?" He said, "I'm a young man from Egypt. I'm in duality and I serve an Amalekite. I serve the flesh." They're the descendants of the Amalekites were the descendants of Esau, which is flesh. And seed produces like kind, so guess what they were? Flesh. "And my master or controller left me 3 days ago." You know what? Who your master and controller was? Adam. He bailed out on you three days ago on the Jericho Road. Hey, there you go. He just walked out and left you laying. Now, when he did that 3 days ago, why? Adam left us 3 days ago. He left us in the garden. Did he not? He bailed out us in the garden. Because we were sick. We had a problem. We thought he was gone. Guess what? He wasn't. And he says, this is what we did. We made a division on the south of the Cherethites. And the Cherethites speak of what? The executioners or the prototype Philistines. It was the early ones. The prototype of them. And upon the coast which belongs to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and Caleb speaks of the dog, and we burned Ziglag, that's the place of pressure, with fire. See, flesh people, you know what they don't like? They don't like other flesh people, and they don't like testings. They don't like the south, they burnt the south up, they don't like them places, they do like the place of comfort, but they want it all their way. They burned everything else up. And David said to him, and this is Christ speaking to you, "Can you bring me down to this company? Can you take me to the ones that created all this problem? Can you point out where the problem is?" How many in here can point out where the problem is in your life? Hello? Right here. Take your finger and touch your head, because there's the problem. Yeah, there's a romper room up there. Yeah, there's our problem. If we can honestly point and say that my problem is within me and not within anyone else in the world, guess what I have just done? I have just delivered myself from some bad thinking when I understand that my problem lies within me. If someone did something bad to me, if Bob come in here, and I'm going to use Bob because he's real close, Bob come here and slapped me upside the head and said all kinds of bad things about me. He normally does, but it don't make any difference. But if Bob come in here and slapped me upside the head and said something bad to me, and I got offended at it, who had the problem? I have the problem. Did that alleviate the problem that Bob did something wrong? No, that's still his baby to deal with, isn't it? See, he's got to deal with what he did, and I got to deal with the way I react to what people does to me. That's the only way I can deal with anything, is control the way I react to somebody. And we really should not react to anything like that. We should just let it go. There's nothing wrong with saying, "Bob, why'd you rip my arm off and beat me with it?
Yeah. Not be mad at you. Is there a reason why you were upset with me? You know, something like that. Is there a reason why you're upset? I used to use this one with Lois all the time when things back years ago, she'd come in, she'd be upset with me about something, and I wouldn't even know what it was, you know. Maybe something at her job, and she was just on edge, and she'd come home just biting around, you know. And I'd say, honey, is there any reason why my arm's bleeding? Can you tell me why this blood's running down my arm? She'd look at me, what? I'd say, what am I bleeding for? That was a long time ago, though. But, I mean, that's what I'd say. Is there a reason for me bleeding? Did I do something? No. I said, okay, then. I just wondered why you was biting me. I'm just here, so I guess. Sometimes we're just a target, you know what I mean? The flesh hates flesh, so they let you bleed once in a while. Okay. Where am I at? Oh, down in 15. And he said, now this is what the Egyptian said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me. Now look, he used God in there. Even the ungodly use that God, don't they? Because in their heart they really know there is a God, whether they admit it or not. He said that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this company. Sure. Yep, good. God's good, right? They think that everything good is not God. God does good, but he does some other things too that people don't want to know about. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Now you see, that's the way a worldly person thinks. If I got a house full of stuff, that's party. If I haven't got no stuff in my house, I can't party. I'm sad. Why? If you ain't got no stuff in your house, you got room to have a party. Most people got the house so filled up, they ain't got room to have a party. They couldn't bring two people in the house. They couldn't get in. See? Too much stuff. And I've made a vow this year. I've said it, and I've said it on tape. Now I'm going to say it again so everybody can hear it, and then that holds me to it. My wife just hasn't really bought into this, but I want to give away half of my stuff this year. That's just because I don't want it anymore. I want to give away things to people that need things, and it clears out the room. I can have room in my house to move. My house isn't cluttered like that, but I still feel like I got too much stuff. We started yesterday. We got some more stuff out, and I keep finding things to get out. If even if it's a little at a time, I'm working on it. I got all year. See? Yeah, have to find the one that says David on it before I can take it out of the house, and have to look for the one with Lois. I have to leave it alone. So see, I said my stuff. I didn't say her stuff. Yeah. But I can try to persuade her to release some of it. Yeah, I do. And David smote them from twilight, that's at dusk, even to the evening of the next day. How many days was he doing this? How many days? From morning till the evening of the next day. All through your Passover and Pentecostal experiences, your Christ is going to have to be working and slaying the things in your life. Do you hear me? All through your Passover and Pentecostal experiences internally, God's going to be dealing and slaying stuff that you got that you don't need to be packing. You remember in Acts 27, verse 19, what it says? In the third day, you have to lighten the ship with your own hands. You got to throw it out yourself. You come to a place where you understand it yourself and say, this is not good for me to keep a hold of. See, we got to come to that place. And they escaped not a man of them except, what? 400 young men that rode upon camels and fled. 400 young men. The old man said this, go ahead and get me. I've had enough of it. Fighting's no good. You get tired. But the young men still got a little resistance there, don't they? And they jumped up on them camels, that beastly nature, and rode. They fled away. Oh, no. No, these were the earthly, the Amalekites. The fleshly ones. And four speaks of what? Complete. So there was enough seed there in them 400 to keep the seed going, I promise you. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives.
Well, I don't know. He had gotten rid of both of them. One might have been enough to bring back. He's still holding on to what? Duality. And see, it tells us, even though we've come to a place of testing and maturity, we still have some duality in our lives. We still have some. See, so no one can say, I have arrived. See, we're in a process. And even the Apostle Paul, when he got to the place where he said, I've come to a place where I could go on and be with the Lord, it'd be better for me, but it's better for you that I stay, so I'm going to stay. Even there, Paul still had to wrestle every day. He said he died daily, didn't he? We got to die daily. It's a process of dying. There's still little things in our life. And you know, we're not aware of the things that's in our life until someone comes by and kicks that dust up in front of us. Somebody comes through our life like a little windstorm and kicks some of that dust up, and next thing you know, we're spitting and sputtering. Well, we would never know it was in us if somebody didn't come along and kick it up. So rather than being upset at the person that stirred something up in your life, why don't you look at it and say, okay, God, what's this about? What have I missed? What do I have to look at that I have missed in my life? I thought I was doing it right. But you said it right when you said, I thought. I was thinking. When you let the Christ think in you, he'll expose every little particle of dust that needs to be removed. Keep the presence of God, the ephod, with you at all times. You don't have a problem. Okay? But he's still going to show you those little dust storms from time to time. Don't think that you're free just because you've come to an understanding of third day. It's a lot more than that. But I see this in verse 18, when David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, the flesh had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. I see it's jubilee, but there's still some duality hanging. There's still something soulish hanging around in us. Okay? And there was nothing lacking to them, neither great nor small, neither sons nor daughters, nor spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. That's Christ. He said he died for the sins of the whole world. He reconciled all humanity back to himself. And David took all the flocks, and that word flocks there, literally, if you look at the language, says sheep. He took all the sheep and the herds, that word should be cattle. He took all the sheep and the cattle, which they drove before the other. Now, what, you know what the other word cattle means? Don't mean cattle. It means other livestock. And said, this is David's spoil. It said the sheep and the cattle, David took all the flocks and herds. He took all the sheep and the cattle, and the other beasts, the other livestock, he didn't claim. Hello, there's two, and one he didn't. Flesh isn't going into the kingdom of God. Hello? It's the same pattern all the way through it. He took the sheep and the cattle, but the other livestock he didn't. That might have been pigs, you never know. It could have been the pigs, couldn't it? Okay. This is David's spoil. You know what his spoil is? All humanity. It's all his. But if there's a first fruit thing that he's taking there, there's a sacrifice. Yep. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint they were exhausted that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near the people, he saluted them or greeted them. And then responded all the wicked men of Belial, or those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, except every man his wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. You know what that is? That's them Pentecostal people. That's that Pentecostal experience in your life. Don't let me say people. It's a Pentecostal experience in your life. In the Pentecostal experience, we get greedy. We want it all. We want everything. Okay? But he said that these people, the men of Belial. Now, these are men that walked with David, weren't they? In the Passover experience, they went back. Remember in Ruth what happened to Naomi? What happened to her? What'd she say before the end of the first chapter? Don't call me Naomi any longer, but call me Mara, because I'm bitter the way God's dealt with me. And see, that's the Pentecostal experience that we walk in our life. When God begins to bring the dealings in our life, we get bitter with what God's doing. We don't accept and say, okay, this is of God. We say, oh, that's from the devil. And oh, when somebody sends me a check for $50 or gives me a $20 bill or buys my debt, oh, that's a blessing of God. Well, you know, that blessing of God won't do a thing for you. It's temporal. But when God is faithful enough to send somebody in your life to stir the dust up in your life, He'll give you an eternal change. There's something worth hanging on to. It may not feel good,